This podcast is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Fiscally responsible, financial geniuses, monetary magicians. These are things people say about drivers who switch their car insurance to Progressive and save hundreds. Because Progressive offers discounts for paying in full, owning a home, and more. Plus, you can count on their great customer service to help you when you need it, so your dollar goes a long way. Visit Progressive.com to see if you could save on car insurance. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Potential savings will vary. Not available in all states or situations.
Man, we dusted it off because it calls for it. A breaking news edition here at Post Wrestling. I am John Pollock, joined by Wei Ting, and we are here to talk about the passing of Terry Bollea, Hulk Hogan, at the age of 71. Terry Bollea died this morning at 11:17 a.m. Clearwater Police Department responded to a call where he was having a medical issue. TMZ is reporting that they were of the impression that he was going into cardiac arrest. He was transported to the local hospital, and that is where he was pronounced dead at the age of 71. We had known that Hulk Hogan had definitely not been in great health these last couple of months, but there had been a lot of speculation, a lot of it coming from Bubba the Love Sponge, Todd Klemm, about the severity of what Hulk Hogan's health was, what state it was in. But he had undergone a neck procedure back in May and has been out of the public eye since that time, not being visible at his beach shop in Florida, attached to the Real American Freestyle group that he's been the face of, including the weeks earlier this week announcing their streaming deal with Fox Nation or making appearances for Real American Beer. And that had got a lot of alarm bells up and was fueled by what Bubba the Love Sponge had been sharing on his radio platform. At one point earlier this month, his wife Sky had put out a statement kind of quelling the concerns about her husband, and that, yes, he had been in and out of hospital. He had been, you know, having issues here, but denying that he was in a coma, that said, quote, his heart is strong. There was never any lack of oxygen or brain damage. None of those rumors are true. He's been recovering from a major 4-level anterior cervical discectomy and fusion, which is an intense surgery with a long and layered healing process. If you look it up, you'll see what the last 6 weeks have involved. And this was earlier in July. She posted this. Not just for his spine, but also for his vocal cords and the eating breathing tubes that are clamped over during surgery. We've been in and out of hospital to support that recovery. So truly, there's no need for the drama or panic some people try to stir up. He's healing, and we're taking it one day at a time with love, strength, and patience. And then, literally 24 hours ago, Jimmy Hart had put out a post on X saying that Hogan is doing great. And didn't get into any specifics, but I mean, certainly people are circling back to this, and then the news comes out on Thursday of his passing. So, I mean, it's a somewhat like bizarre set of circumstances, because this has been, you know, kind of you've heard these whispers throughout the weeks, like how severe is this, and also trying to respect someone's own health problems at the same time, when, yes, a public figure, but also somebody that is clearly not wanting to disclose what their state of health was over these last couple of weeks / months. All of that as a preamble way. I think the name Hulk Hogan is one that you can just see in the couple of hours since this news has broken, what a gigantic story this is going to be that goes far beyond the pro wrestling industry and into general pop culture that Hulk Hogan has been attached to.
Yeah. Obviously somebody who transcends just the scope of what we talk about on a daily basis. And by just even that definition, maybe to many people, still the most popular professional wrestler that has ever lived. And for us, like for the general public, I really do wonder at this point, like, how much they know of Hulk Hogan and what these sort of discussions and reactions are going to be like. Is it going to be strictly focused on, you know, what he did as a performer, what sort of entertainment he brought, or is it going to be about what negativity is attached to him? And certainly in professional wrestling, I think you have even more to draw from. This is one of those where I want to say a little bit difficult to talk about because, on the one hand, there are a lot of awful things you could say about this person as a human being. There are also a lot of great things you can say about him for what his contributions are to the thing that we covered today. You know, we have to ask the question, well, would wrestling have been as popular as it has? Would we have the careers that we have, you know, up until this point, many years later, without the contributions of a Hulk Hogan? These are all, I think, valid questions. But yeah, like I'm kind of just like talking out loud here because I think there are complicated feelings attached to it. Like, how do we celebrate maybe what this guy brought while also being truthful about what terrible things he did actually bring to the industry and also just with the way he conducted himself in life?
I think it's both. I think just from my impressions over the last like hour and a half is there's going to be plenty of all of it. I don't think it's one where you're necessarily you can't do it justice to just simply just glaze over so many of the controversies attached to Hulk Hogan that I think because of the star that he became to a certain generation of fans that were growing up at that time, especially if you were in your adolescent stages in the 80s as a young black wrestling fan, I think a lot of those people had a very difficult reconciliation of this, of not just the tape that came out with the horrific language that he used. The tape came out in 2015. This led to his firing by WWE. And it's also Hogan's handling of that particular tape afterward that I think, was there a reclamation to be had for Hogan? I do believe that there was, and I don't think that I don't think this was someone that had completely separated himself from, like, some fans would have completely written him off for this. But as we have seen, the level of star power is going to give you a lot of allowances, a lot of second, third, and fourth chances. And I think for Hogan, the idea was that he didn't even do the bare minimum to show repentance for this. It's forgotten about the fact that, and you know, so much is going to be uncovered in the next couple of days. I'm kind of just bracing for the Hulk Hogan thought pieces and recollections. There's going to be so much Hulk Hogan fiction that is baked into this because Hulk Hogan was a walking piece of fiction in so many ways. That is how he comported himself. And it almost became one in the same of just telling these stories over and over. But also what will be uncovered is like when he visited Nick Hogan in prison and those calls got released, like there's some horrific stuff in there too about in regards to John Graziano, who was in the car with Nick Hogan in their August 2007 crash, and Hogan like making like N-word references in that call as well. Like this was a guy that, I mean, he comes with a ton of baggage, and it's that ultimate test for some people of your childhood that is faced with some horrific controversies and a peek into Terry Bollea. I don't think it's as cut and dry as just we sit here and debate good versus bad. When you have someone here, you have 71 years to dissect, and I'm not one of those people that sit here and just, you know, the guy is passed and that means you just exercise all the bad and you just focus on the good. It's like, listen, your life is your audition for how you will be remembered. And now is the time that you will sit down. There's a lot you can look at for Hogan. There's probably many people. He was their gateway to professional wrestling. And if you were of a certain age and grew up in, you know, in the U.S. specifically, but other areas as well, like this was, you know, their like an Inoki level, a Mil Moskris level to some. Like he was in the 80s and 90s your biggest star and really wasn't seen as anyone comparable until you had like the Austin rock boom into it. And for Hogan, he was, you know, this enduring figure that transformed multiple generations as well from and different territories and different companies and was the face of the company's national expansion.
Certainly. Yeah. Now wrestling is the type of interesting thing where like, you know, people are are essentially cast and chosen for these roles. But there's no doubt there's a certain quality about him and his performance and just his charisma and his look that fit what the audience wanted at the time. Right. And certainly the industry in many ways benefited just from his existence, for sure.
I don't think there's anyone that could have been put in that role in 1984 to be Hulk Hogan, to be the face of the WWF and its national expansion. Like, when you look at other options of, like, if you want to look at a Kerry Von Erich in 1984, I mean, there's just no way that Kerry would have held up to that schedule. And like, Hulk Hogan was, like, you can say whatever you want, but if we're talking about the business that Hulk Hogan generated, and in particular of that, like, 85, 86, 87 period, like, it is astounding what this guy was in the AWA. Like, this is someone that, like, his presence in the AWA was the difference between 16,000 at the St. Paul Civic Center versus, like, a half house. Like, he was that big of a difference maker in the AWA. His drawing power cannot be second guessed, and the house show programs that he had, from Kamala to Orndorff, the programs with Andre, with Savage, and, you know, and then, you know, it waned into the 90s. He absorbed all of the you know, his name was very much attached to the whole steroid distribution trial. He was the prosecution's, like, what they thought was going to be their key witness to bring down Vince McMahon, and ended up the opposite in that front, where he defended Vince in his testimony, but then got his second act in WCW and was a big difference maker for them. Like, he justified an insane contract that he came in with, and then got the renewal with the heel turn in 1996. And, you know, until, like, mid-1998, like, WCW was firing on, or really through the end of 98 and even into 99, like, it was still a company that was in great standing, and then, you know, fell apart in 99-2000. And then he got, like, the nostalgia run in WWE. It's kind of this, you know, I think when anyone saw him come back in 2002, you didn't have the highest of expectations of what Hogan in a modern-day WWE was going to present. But beyond the Rock match, he works with the likes of Kurt Angle, with Chris Jericho, with Brock Lesnar, gets the tag run with Edge. Like, he's losing in, like, it's fairly common that he put over guys in this time period. And, you know, that was kind of the last significant run in WWE.
Yeah. In the same breath, we of course have to mention, what he managed to do to prevent perhaps, professional wrestlers from acquiring a similar level of power and status as him, right?
Notably, this in regards to Jesse Ventura's attempt to unionize in 1986, and it would come out in testimony that it was Hulk Hogan that went to Vince McMahon and basically eliminated that ability for the talent to join together, because if they had Hulk Hogan on their side, they have an enormous amount of leverage in 1986 if a Hulk Hogan was willing to sit out WrestleMania, or would just not demanded this. And that was a massive blow to talent that was not only not going to unionize at that time, it was also going to discourage any further talent from even getting that kind of talk off the ground. And it's just been an assumed practice that's going to be exhibited as WWE has continued to grow, and the idea of any kind of union or association being formed in pro wrestling seems like such a pipe dream. And this is 40 years removed from that attempt by Jesse Ventura.
And just even getting into professional wrestling and the pecking order of you know, star making type of a machinery, like, what are some of the maybe more notable stories of him and his politicking,
specific in the WWF or just overall? Like, overall. I think in terms of, you know, I think it became much more of a strain on business when he was in WCW, where, I mean, you can argue two ways. You can argue the fact that here was someone who negotiated that into his contract, that this is an industry that ultimately you are out to protect yourself. And in that regard, Hulk Hogan was one of the best at that. Like, that is what the game is. There is the idea of you know, for the good of the business, you put over the next star, or you try and, you know, you give back. But it's an industry that ultimately does not give back to you. And in WCW, he understood the power that he had, what he brought to WCW, that he did not necessarily need WCW, but they greatly needed him. And he got a great deal for himself, and that included creative control. And that is where you could certainly see, like, that influence. But especially the early years, he also was, you know, he did make a difference on pay-per-view. And then, you know, when the character was really kind of flailing in 95 into 1996, I mean, he was at least able to observe the tea leaves and take the jump to turn heel rather than riding out this Hulkamania character in 1996. But, you know, he was still front and center even when, like, all of his key losses, like, they were done with the understanding of Hogan ultimately having something, you know, on the back end for himself. When he puts over Warrior at WrestleMania 6, like, it's a masterful job that he does in that moment, where to the naked eye, here is Hulk Hogan, the guy that is handing the reins over to the next big star. And yet, in that, I did a lengthy interview years ago with Hulk Hogan talking about this, and it's definitely something I should go back and rewatch. But, like, he explained the fact of, like, listen, I know how to go out there and get myself over. I know all the tricks. And that was a master class in both 1990, where the story of WrestleMania 6 was not as much Warrior winning, but as Hogan losing. And he's the one being charted off, and everyone is, the sympathy is for Hogan. Fast forward to 2002, he's losing to The Rock, but who was the story of that match? Was it Rock or was it Hogan? I mean, the guy knew exactly how to lose and still stay over and still keep the attention on him. When it came to losing to Brock in 2002, was with the belief that he would get that win back. When he lost to Bill Goldberg, it was the idea that when it was time for Goldberg to lose, that Hogan should be that guy. Like, that's the business. That is a critical part of the business. And I don't, like, yes, you can certainly say that it's not, he certainly stunted growth of various stars over the years. But it was also one where, like, he protected Terry Bollea first and foremost. And that is an aspect of the game that exists, and one that he played really brilliantly for a good portion of his career. When this is an industry, you have the leverage you have, he knew how to play it very effectively.
Do you feel like that was what he was also trying to do in his later stages of life?
In what way?
Well, just his public persona, becoming so tied with the Republican Party. How much of that do you think is self-preservation?
I always viewed Hulk Hogan, where he was in any public setting that he was on, and I think most people did as well. Like, this was Hulk Hogan, where this was a game of decoding Hulk Hogan, and whatever level of sincerity or depth that you would feel you were exposed to. Like, I always felt this was a guy that was calculated, and it was why when he got so embroiled in his controversies and going beyond, like, the racist tape, he was so careful and meticulous about his image and how he would be presented, how he would come off. And, like, here he is, like, tweeting videos of himself on a toilet and stuff. And it just felt like at a certain point, like, whether it was the reality TV era that he engulfed himself into, he saw what was the hot thing, attaching himself to it. And as Hulk Hogan aged, I think he became someone that was, trying to adjust to a changing media landscape and ultimately attention on himself. And I think that would go right up until, like, where he was front and center at the RNC last year, and somebody that ended up becoming, listen, he's good television. There was a reason that Fox News brought this guy on to react to everything, because this guy was, he was good television for these outlets, and he saw, like, this was also a setting that he was not going to be booed out of, like, a building, when which is ultimately going to be his final WWE appearance is going to be the case when he was at the Intuit Dome in January.
Yeah, it was. Yeah. And I feel like that's, I'm curious to see maybe what the sort of discussion around Hulk Hogan will be amongst like an audience that might have booed him and might have celebrated that particular seat. Because
there's,
I think
there's the Gawker
ways,
story as well. Like that's a whole, there's so many stories attached to Hulk Hogan that you could do such deep looks at. But I mean, with Gawker, I mean, he sued Gawker and then later it was revealed like he was getting funded by Peter Thiel to take down Gawker. And yeah, I mean, it ultimately killed Gawker as well. Whatever you want to think about Gawker, and whether you believe it was like right or wrong for them to post what they did of Hogan. But you can also see why Hogan was very nervous of that tape, of the audio getting out. Like people had just seen the images of the sex tape, but not the audio of it. The audio was like this other bullet in the chamber that it took like another couple of years before that would come out after the initial wave of like just the sex tape part of it. And then, oh, it's also, he's dropping the N-word throughout this as well. And again, you listen to that audio and it's just like, it's so awful. Like to hear it, it's one thing to read it, it's not great, but you hear it and there's just, I think that was another aspect to the entire thing as well. And that's, I mean, the last 10 years, I think it has very much shaped people's perception of Hulk Hogan, that I don't think the, like, if you were just strictly judging him on the wrestling side of things, I think these last 10 years especially are going to really weigh on people. And just from what I've seen here, like, it's not as though I'm just seeing, like, just Hulk Hogan the Great as he's remembered. Like, I see a lot of, like, conflicted thoughts of people that are mentioning, you know, this, he wasn't a great person, but, like, I think it's, like, this is not some like quiet aspect of the Hulk Hogan persona or history. It's very widely known, and I think it's one that is going to be examined pretty extensively. But I'm very curious to see like the media coverage, because this is going to be among the most covered wrestling deaths that we have ever seen.
Yeah, I guess depending on who you're asking, but to me it feels like everything to do with the tape, the racist rant, all of his more recent contributions to culture are probably a lot louder than, you know, any sort of like great moment he might have had.
Just the scene at Raw in January, I think like that is like, that's going to be his final image in a wrestling setting. Mm-hmm. And like, you know, the response he had on Ariel's show, that, you know, I was a heel in Los Angeles. I mean, it was just one of those, like, just didn't hold any water, and it forced people to have that conversation yet again with Hulk Hogan.
Yeah, that he's either just trying to no-sell the moment, or he's truly delusional. And I think you could make an argument for either. That, to me, at least for I think a lot of us, feels like it's the lasting impression that we have of him. And I'll just say, I think it's really unfortunate, you know, that I feel like the public discourse with Hulk Hogan never really kind of got to resolve itself. It kind of remains in this, I would say, largely negative opinion. And, you know, it's, you know, yeah, somebody dying is never something, you know, to...
It's really similar way to the Ultimate Warrior, I think, for many people as well. Like, here was a guy that was a big part of some fans' childhood and had a life that, like, listen, you could not tell the Ultimate Warrior story unless you went in and covered all of it, like the good and the bad. And there's significant with both, with a Hulk Hogan as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, this one much louder than that.
Yes, much, like, this is, like, I would say of the living wrestling personalities up until this morning, like, I think this was the one that was going to like, you knew this was going to be major. Like, we saw when Randy Savage died, just how big that was in 2011. So I do assume, like, this is going to be... And Hulk Hogan was someone that kept himself in the spotlight throughout all of this. Like, Randy Savage had largely taken himself away for those, like, almost like the last decade of his life. Like, he would pop up very, very rarely. But Hulk Hogan, the opposite. Like, he has that's why I think it was so noticeable of the fact that he did not have any public presence these last couple of months. And it raised the suspicions of so many. And that was fueled by Bubba the Love Sponge, who, whatever you want to say about him, very connected in that Florida Hogan scene, and you couldn't like dismiss what he was hearing either. But at the same time, like, there was, it did fuel that speculation of, like, you know, he's not in the public eye. Is he, and the family probably trying to downplay the severity of what he was dealing with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Jake from the Windy City asks, how do you think WWE, what do you think they'll do for their tribute?
SmackDown's going to be a really interesting episode tomorrow, because I would think that they're going to do the full-on tribute tomorrow night. I think it's going to be the biggest SmackDown number maybe in years on USA.
What is the extent of the tribute, in your opinion?
I think it's going to be like, I don't think it's just like the graphic at the beginning and the, like, I think they're going to go the full out, like highlights of Hogan. I don't know if they'll go to the extent of having like the sit downs with talent, remembering and stuff, but I think it's going to be the focus of SmackDown.
I'm doubtful personally.
Yeah.
I think we might get, you know, like video clips going in and out of commercial, but like a whole episode focused on Hogan, like a recent passing of, you know, an active roster member.
The last comparison we have is when Bray Wyatt and Terry Funk died 2 years ago.
Yeah.
And that pulled that did a huge audience on SmackDown. Granted, they were on Fox then. I think it'll be pretty significant. Is like, I don't see it just being like a small mention or just a couple of mentions of Hogan on the broadcast. But you know, that's what I'm sure they are retooling as we speak, is how to handle this on SmackDown on Friday night. Like, it's tough in some ways, but it's like WWE had not distanced themselves from Hogan. Like, dude, they literally have the logo on their mat of Real American Beer. Like, he was their business partner.
Sure. Yeah. But they also weren't necessarily celebrating him, you know, the way that I think we might be anticipating, you know, in something like this. Right. He was only mentioned almost as just like a taboo topic, you know, by a CM Punk, for instance. Obviously in death,
it's not to cut you off, but it's also going to be really interesting. The performers that do post their tributes and the ones that don't, and whether that's fair or not, that is going to be noticeable. Like, I think for many, it's going to, you know, you're going to get the glowing tributes from the Ric Flairs and the Stings. And for a lot of people, like a lot of these wrestlers that grew up, whether they were contemporaries of Hogan or they were fans of Hogan, it's going to skew that way. But, you know, there are going to be some too that are just, not that they're going to say anything negative, but they're just going to sit this one out and not post something about
and
Hogan.
Like, that's completely understandable.
Well,
completely,
yeah,
acceptable.
Yeah.
Yeah. I bet you a lot of people are maybe having conversations similar to this, or maybe, you know, a lot more sympathetic, or maybe a lot less sympathetic than conversations like this. And I think all of it is valid, and all of it is, you could say, deserved. He's a man who lived, you know, a life that, gave a lot of people entertainment and also rubbed a lot of people the wrong way. And I think at this point, this is sort of when somebody dies, they're kind of cashing in on everything that they did in their lives. And I think all of these feelings are completely valid.
Yeah. Beyond everything, what I think of, and this has only been a few hours since this news, but as I was writing about Hogan, to me, like, as much as it's going to be focused on like the wrestling career and the controversies, the many attached to Hulk Hogan, to the best of our knowledge, this is someone that died who had completely ceased ties with his daughter and apparently had never met his two grandchildren that she had. To me, that is the ultimate tragedy of things for a parent to pass, and that was the state of a relationship with one of your children. And I think that is something that is, the circumstances were what they were of, you know, that Brooke had distanced herself from her family. But I just find that to be like a really tragic aspect to the story as well, that you are like, did not get to the best of our knowledge, repair that relationship before your death.
Yeah, it is tragic. It is sad, among maybe many things you could deem that. But that is entirely Brooke's choice. And if she's happy, then it's the right decision. But listen, I mean,
she was put in awful positions over the years as well. I mean, it was, but like that is to me something that is it's just a very sad reality of all of this that you go through. So the as expected, the media coverage of this is pretty like just everywhere covering this story. I don't think I've ever gotten, and this includes Chris Benoit, I don't think I've ever gotten this many interview requests as I have in the last couple of hours. I'm going to be on a bunch of shows over the next 24 hours. So I will post them after they occur. I believe CNN is going to be doing some coverage of this tonight on with like Jake Tapper and Anderson Cooper, I believe, will be doing segments on Hogan, and probably every news outlet you can imagine are going to be dedicating some level of time to this story. And it's going to be an interesting way of how Hulk Hogan is covered, because again, a lot of the Hulk Hogan story, it's so wrapped up in mythology. And it, like, if you are going based off of his books and his own words, it's taking you down a path that is the Hulk Hogan story, and it doesn't always comport with reality. He's a very difficult individual to kind of unpack and go through like the authentic story of Hulk Hogan, because authentic and Hulk Hogan did not always be those did not go hand in hand.
That sort of becomes his identity, you know. He's a guy who lied a lot, and at that point, what are you left with? You're left with the facts, and a lot of the facts are either things you can celebrate in professional wrestling metric, or things you can definitely criticize him for outside of professional wrestling.
All right. I just got a request to come on a morning show in Australia. Way.
Okay, so. Which is about coming up soon.
Yeah, that's coming up in like 2 hours, so we will see if we can make that one happen. But yeah, this is crazy. I think we're definitely going to be back. This is kind of throwing a curveball into our schedule, but for obvious reasons, we do have a brief story up on the site, kind of just hitting on some of the big talking points with Hulk Hogan. I'm going to definitely get a more lengthier story on Terry Bollea out in the coming days, but we just wanted to get something up quickly going through that. Rewind Away is going to be delayed for obvious reasons. We're going to probably put that out next week, and tentatively maybe waiting, handling the reins of the G1 show on Friday with Eric Marcotte. So anyway, we can guarantee we will be back for Rewind to SmackDown on Friday night. We'll go live at postwrestlingcafe.com and maybe doing another Hogan-related show on Friday. We will see. Everything is kind of a lot of things to juggle at the moment. So we're going to park it there. There's a lot more to dive into regarding this story, and I'm sure a lot more is going to come out over the next 12 to 24 hours. So, Wei, thank you for being available to do this on short notice, and we encourage you to hit the subscribe button, and thanks for tuning in to Post Wrestling. For Wei Ting, I am John Pollock. Thank you for watching.
If you work as a manufacturing facilities engineer, installing a new piece of equipment can be as complex as the machinery itself. From prep work to alignment and testing, it's your team's job to put it all together. That's why it's good to have Grainger on your side. With industrial-grade products and next-day delivery, Grainger helps ensure you have everything you need close at hand through every step of the installation. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
In Indiana, summer means more than sunshine. It's hiking miles and miles of trails to magnificent views and cruising through caves on underground river rides. It's spending the night in a floating cabin and scuba diving into your next big adventure. It's riding a horse and buggy through historic towns and camping with elephants at a wildlife park. It's anything but ordinary. Plan your trip at inindiana.com/summer.